today on It's Time.
But that's where the walk of faith is. The Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God. We step out in faith. And by stepping out in faith, we put feet to the Word of God in our life.
Welcome to It's Time, the daily Bible teaching program of Mike Kessler, pastor of the River Christian Fellowship in Twin Falls, Idaho. Today, we're going through the book of Genesis. So, turn there in your Bible and follow along with Pastor Mike.
It's time for these wounds to heal.
And another possibility is she didn't want her dad to be worshiping idols anymore. That's a real possibility as well. Don't know for sure. The Bible doesn't tell us. But he searched the house, didn't find him because literally Rachel was setting on them. Then Jacob was angry and rebuked Laban. Now I imagine this anger and rebuke Laban. He had put up with a lot of junk from this hard-nosed father-in-law of his for over 20 years. And I believe that when he finally spoke, these were some pretty harsh words. Jacob was angry and he rebuked Laban. And Jacob answered and said to Laban, "What's my trespass? What is my sin that you have so hotly pursued me? Although you have searched all my things, what part of your household things have you found? Set it here before my brethren and your brethren, that we may judge between us both. These 20 years I have been with you. Your ewes and your young female goats have not miscarried. Their young I have not eaten the rams of your flock." In other words, I've not enriched myself by anything you have. And so he says, "That which was torn apart by the beasts, I did not bring to you. I bore the loss of it." In other words, that I didn't bring you, and it was customary in those days that if a shepherd was watching sheep and a wolf would come in, a coyote would come in, something would come in and kill the sheep, it was customary then to take the what remained of the sheep, it was gutted, it was blood soaked, and bring it to the master and say, "Look, an animal attacked your sheep." Thereby proving that the shepherd didn't steal it and eat it on his own, but he brought the carcass to the master. Jacob said, "I never did that. I replaced whatever was lost in the field with my own sheep, with my own flocks. That which was torn by the beast, I did not bring to you. I bore the loss of it. You required it of my hand, whether stolen by day or by night. There I was. In the day, the drought consumed me. Frost at the night, my sleep departed from my eyes." And by the way, of course, that's what a shepherd would do. Many times the coyotes and all would attack the flocks by night. And so the shepherd would be required to stay awake all night and bear the brunt of the weather outside. And so he says, "I've been in your house 20 years. I've served you 14 years for your two daughters, 6 years for your flock, and you have changed my wages 10 times. Unless the God of my father, the God of Abraham, the God and the fear of Isaac had been with me, surely now you would have sent me away empty-handed. God has seen my affliction and saw my labor of my hands and rebuked you last night." Wow, that's pretty bold to be speaking to your father-in-law like this. I imagine the family reunion is going to be a little bit different after this. But he's saying, "Look, you changed my wages 10 times. I worked for you for 14 years for your two daughters. I didn't steal anything from you." Laban answered and said to Jacob, verse 43, These daughters are my daughters. These children are my children. And this flock is my flock. All you see is mine. But what can I do this day to these my daughters or to these my children whom they have borne? Now therefore come, let us make a covenant, you and I, and be a witness between you and me. Then this is called the parting of the ways. Now sometimes in our dealing with in-laws, when they become outlaws, you just sometimes have to stay away from them. And that's exactly what happened with Jacob and with Laban. And so the Bible says here that Jacob took a stone and set it up as a pillar. Then Jacob said to his brethren, gather stones, and they gathered stones and made a heap, and they ate there on the heap. And Laban called it Jagar Sidera, but Jacob called it Gael. And Laban said, let this heap of stones be a witness between you and me this day. And he called the name Gael, also Mizpah, because he said, may the Lord watch between you and me while we were absent one from another. Now, many of you, and you may even have this around your neck right now, I don't know. You may have the token of Mizpah. Has anybody ever seen one of those? Well, I'll tell you what they are. They were oftentimes sold in Christian bookstores. And what it was a round coin-looking thing with this verse written on it. The Lord watch between you and me while we are absent one from another. And then the coin that had that stamped into it was sawn in two in a jig-jag manner. And so your lover would wear half and you would wear the other half and you would get together and go, the Lord watch between us while you're absent one from another. Let me tell you something, friends. That's not the context of the verse. Basically, they built these and said, this is the border boundary. God watch between you and me while we're absent one from another, you good-for-nothing ripping off snake. And I always was amazed when I would see, and I'd go to church years ago, and I'd see these jagged half coins around a person's neck, and I'm going, you don't even know what that's about. You see, things out of context can get kind of weird. And that's what it was. They made a covenant with each other saying, God, watch between us, and don't you ever come back this way. That's what he was saying. So Mizpah, if you do a Google search or a eBay search on Mizpah, you'll come up with this round coin. It's just about the size of a quarter with a loop through it with this verse written on the front with it cut in two. And I always thought, again, it was such an interesting thing. He says, Mizpah, because he said, may the Lord watch between you and me while we are absent one from another. And if you afflict my daughters, or if you take other wives beside my daughters, although no man is with us, see, God is a witness between you and me. And Laban said to Jacob, here is this heap of stones. Here is the pillar which I have placed between you and me. This heap is a witness, and the pillar is a witness that I will not pass beyond this heap to you, and you will not pass beyond this heap and pillar to me for harm. Isn't that weird? They made this little thing out in the desert and said, here's the border. And the Lord God of Abraham, God of Nahor, the God of their father, judge between us. And Jacob swore by the fear of his father Isaac. Then Jacob offered up a sacrifice on the mountain, called his brethren to eat the bread, and they ate bread and stayed all night in the mountains. Early in the morning, Laban arose, kissed his sons and daughters, blessed them, and Laban departed and returned to his place. And this is the last time we hear about Laban in the Bible. And probably good. Because Laban represents the world. Look what I have done for you. You know, it's interesting when Abraham returned from the slaughter of the kings. And the king of Sodom came to him and said, you can keep all the money. I want the people. Abraham said, I don't want the money. Lest somebody would come along and say, you made me rich. You see, it's very important, the source of who we are, the source of your wealth, the source of your being. Some people believe it doesn't matter. The end justifies the means. But friends, it doesn't. The Bible's very clear about that. So notice Laban goes away. He leaves. Now look at the next verse of the next chapter. And of course, we remember the chapters and verses were placed in there by the people who wrote the Bible so we could find our favorite Bible verse. But it didn't break that way in the original. Notice it says, Laban departed, returned to his place. So Jacob went on his way and the angels of God met him. Wow. You see, you're never alone. And though you leave one thing that you're comfortable in, he left this place of his father-in-law. And even though he'd fallen out of graces with him, it was that which was known. Now he goes into the unknown. But that's where the walk of faith is. The Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. You'll feel an unction in your heart sometimes about doing something. I don't know if God will really take me there or not. I don't know if God will see me through there or not. We step out in faith. And by stepping out in faith, we put feet to the Word of God in our life. And God begins to open doors to guide us where we're supposed to be. That's why the Bible says, I wish you were for me or against me, but if you're lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth. Why? Because you're stopped on the road. You see, when we become lukewarm, we're not moving in faith anymore. That's where the miracles are. That's where the power of God is. That's where you can see the hand of God working. And that's what encourages you to be about your Father's business. If God closes a door in your life, as painful as it might be, God's going to open a brand new one in your life because he loves you. And that's just the way God works. I'm not so comfy sometimes in that. I must be from Missouri because I'm the show me state. I want to see it before I do it. Well, God doesn't do it that way. God says, I'll tell you what, we're going to step out in faith. And the only thing you're going to know about the future is me. But God, that's hard. It is. But where's your faith? Now, again, I've shared this many times. We as Christians trust God for our eternal being with him forever, don't we? As a Christian, if you're a Christian here this morning, you know that's one of the reasons we got saved, that we wouldn't have to go to hell. But because we're saved, we go to heaven, we're with him. And that's a wonderful thing, and that's a promised thing that God does. But then when we have something happen in our life that's uncomfortable, we go, God, where are you? I don't know. I've had a lapse of faith. It's funny what causes lapses of faith, ain't it? I look in my own life. I see the faithfulness of God over and over and over again in my life. And really, as I look back in my life, it was as regular and as on time as clockwork. But it's funny that when I get a trial sometimes in the future, I'm going, God, where are you? Don't you love me anymore? And the devil comes along and says, yeah, God doesn't. You ought to just go off and jump off the bridge. And we go, yeah, I should. But God doesn't say that. You know why? Because God wants us to trust him. I like to trust things I see. God says, I want you to trust me. And in your course of being a Christian in your life, sometimes the only thing you will ever see is God. But I almost wish that was the way it was every day, friends, because that's all you really need. We can put misplaced affection in so many areas. I found it in my own life. Things I thought I needed, I didn't need. Things I wanted that I found out that when I had them, I didn't really use them. Misplaced affection, I believe, is something that can affect all of us. And so I believe because God loves us, he doesn't let us dig in too much to where we are, but he keeps us kind of, well, I use the illustration, we like the white picket fence and the little gate that opens and closes. And God comes along and says, I know, watch this. But God, I like that. But God says, no, you have to trust me. Friends, the walk of faith is important because in the days to come, I think our nation is coming into some really challenging things. When I watch American cities burn, the governors don't do anything. They just let Portland burn, let Seattle, downtown Seattle turn into a mess. 6 running miles of Minneapolis-St. Paul burnt to the ground. Nothing was stopping it. Why would any governor do that? I don't know. So we're in challenging times. We're in a different era in America. Yesterday, Shannon Skolton, who normally does the announcements up here, and I'm going to talk, she's going to be on the radio show tomorrow, Lord willing, with me, reporting on what happened back there. She talked to General Boykin, one of the major generals in the military. And she said, is there anything, Mike, you'd like me to ask him? And I said, yes. Ask him where he thinks we are in America and all these things and how close we are to a civil war. She asked him that question. Now, this is one of the lead ranking top officials in the United States government. He said, we already are. And I thought that was such a strange remark. He said, we already are. Friends, I think we can all see it. I think we see the constitutionalists. I think we see the people that want to burn America down, you know, chop the statues up, defund the police. Do you realize what kind of anarchy we'd have in this country if it wasn't for the police? The Bible says that people need to be restrained. These are what laws are. But see, we're in a world of lawlessness. And it's not just in our country, but it's in individuals' lives that I can do whatever I want. I can say whatever I want. I can hurt whoever I want and get away with it. God says, no, no, no. Friends, we're in a different time in our world. And if there's never a time that we as Christians need to learn to walk by faith, I believe it's now. Jacob walked away from everything that he had known. And angels met him. Always remember, you will go nowhere that God doesn't know and has already been. And I want to encourage you this morning in faith. Faith is the evidence of things hoped for but not yet seen. And our faith must be in him. He's the author, the finisher of our faith. And sometimes we'll say, well, God, give me more faith. And God increases the trials. And we go, I didn't ask for this. But that's how our faith grows. Because God has to refocus our eyes, not on the problem, but on him. And if you're going through something right now that seems totally overwhelming, and I venture to say, if you're not, you will. The test is not meant to destroy you. The test is meant to show you where you're at with your relationship with him. It's the way God works. You know, before they put a pacemaker in an individual, you may have one of those this morning listening or in the room here. You know, before they put those into an individual, they go through rigorous testing. They shake them and they bang them and they do all kinds of things. They do a longevity test, all those things. The test is not designed to destroy the pacemaker. It's designed to prove the pacemaker is worth putting in you. God will try our faith, not to punish us, but to show us our dependency upon him, to stay focused on him. Jacob left everything that he knew. In those days, there wasn't anybody you called. He just loaded up his family, got on a road out in the middle of the desert, and started traveling. And here comes Laban with him and his men, the Bible says, his camp that was with him. He knew it wasn't going to be good. And he knew that in front of him, he also didn't know what awaited him there. Because as you remember, he left after he ripped off, not really, but in certainly in Esau's mind, ripped him off of his birthright. So I've got Laban behind me who hates me. I've got Esau in front of me that doesn't like me. And I'm stuck here in the middle with you. But you know, it's who you're stuck in the middle with makes all the difference in the world. And with God, you're a majority in any situation. This morning, if you're not a Christian, you are still trying to do it yourself. You're trying to find your purpose for life. You just are. I know you are. Because that's the way the world is. And if you wash your teeth with Shiny Bright, you're going to be somebody. If you drive this kind of car, you're going to be somebody. If you hang out with these kind of friends or have this certain diploma on your wall, you're going to be somebody. If you jump through these hoops, if you become accepted in the social circles, you're going to be somebody. All those things will never make you anything inside. Because you see, we were designed by God for a purpose, and that was to serve him. And anything less that we as human beings do, Christian or non-Christian, will never fulfill you inside. There was a song by Randy Stonehill many, many years ago, and the name of the song was Keep Me Running. Keep me running from the sins I can't erase. Keep me running from the things I can't embrace. Keep me running. And that's the way a person not born again is. We run from one thing to another, one thing to another, one thing to another, trying to find, hey, fulfillment is over here with the neon flashing lights, Carol Barrel in blue saying, right over here. And like people with mindless, we run to that. I see the people on TV in the protests burning stuff down. And I just go, what a generation of lost purpose. Every one of them drove cars there. Every one of them was, I never saw one skinny, scrawny protester. No, they're all very well fed. And they're still mad. Because they're looking for purpose. The only purpose we will ever find is in Christ. And saying, Lord, what will you have me to do? And not to look around at other Christians. What are they doing? What are they doing? What are they doing? Well, that's what I need to do. God, what do you want me to do? Because God, what God wants you to do is so unique and so different. Again, because there's never been anybody like you before, never be anybody like you ever again. God has a specific purpose for you. You're not evolved sludge. You're divinely created by a creator who put you on this earth for a reason. Never lose sight of that. You say, well, how do I then know what that is? Lord, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You see, when Jesus taught the disciples to pray that, you're surrendering your will to God. You're saying, God, not my will, yours be done. This morning, if you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, you're tired of running. I just want to invite you to pray this morning and let's see what God will do in your life. If you need prayer this morning as well, you pray this and ask God to rekindle that fire back in you again. So if you need to pray and get right with God this morning, you're sick of the way you've lived. You don't want another 10 years like you've just had. Let's let God do something brand new. He'll take you at your word today. So let's pray. Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. I'm sorry for the way I've lived. And so from this day forward, I commit my life into your hands. I'm about your business now. Close the doors of my past. Open the new ones that you will bring me through to glorify you. Fill me with your Holy Spirit Give me power and boldness to testify of you and love for people, God, that I didn't love before. Because I know you loved me and died on the cross for me. And your blood covered my sins. And so help me reach that message to a lost world in Jesus' name. Amen. Pray that. Welcome to God's family.
Thanks for joining us on It's Time, as Pastor Mike teaches verse by verse through the Bible. If you've missed a program or would like to catch up, you can do so by getting it from the It's Time podcast in the iTunes store, or by downloading it from the It's Time website at theriverchristianfellowship.com. On behalf of Pastor Mike and the rest of us here at the River Christian Fellowship, thanks for listening. And tune in next time for It's Time.